hardly seen you, right?
Yes.
So what are the days where you are allowed to remove your black uniform?
Well, actually, if I don't have job and then I have a relaxed day, and when I say relaxed day, it doesn't mean it's always the weekend. Sometimes it can be weekday where we can take a break. So I always try to wear colors, but you never know when a funeral call comes in. So I always have a black dress in my car, you know, anytime I need. That's why I have so many shoes in my car, so that I can go casual shoes, you know, working shoes, my gym shoes. So I pretty much live in my car quite a lot. So yeah, usually on a casual day, I try to wear colors. Even though majority of my wardrobe is all black dresses, you know. But yeah, I do like colors, and I particularly like red.
So a person who's always on call and you have a KPI of being one hour response.
Yeah.
How does that affect your life?
So I'm very used to, like, sometimes you get home and you just take a shower and you thought, like, okay, the night is going to be a quiet one. And then you get a call, and the next thing is you wear back, you know, your working outfit and black dress, and you get ready. I usually get ready fairly quick, 15 and 20 minutes, I'm out of the house, because, you know, you want to be there for the family as fast as possible. So sometimes I do get calls, even, you know, when I'm doing activities, or, like, for instance, just recently I was watching the movie Endgame. And I remember there was one part, I already got a message saying that, oh, my loved one is dying, so I will call you anytime. And I literally just stepped into the theater. So in my mind, I was like, okay, let it be like after the movie. And in between, you know, I was constantly on the phone just to manage and then, you know, answer the call. So I remember I stepped out a few times. And then, and of course, the family is very kanchong, so they're like, okay, I'm going to preempt you. And it may happen anytime. I say, okay, sure, anytime it happens, I'll be there. And then, so I remember there was a part, you know, where in Endgames, where Iron Man was giving his final speech, right, with that emotional wheel concept. And I was so intrigued by it. I was like, okay, let me finish this particular scene. And just as I say it, then my phone rang, and then I have to step out. I have to answer the call and then say, okay, mom has passed away. So then I have to leave the theater. I couldn't even go back to the theater and get my, to inform my friend. So I literally have to text my friend and say, sorry, I have to go. So that's part and parcel of, my job. And it's something that something that you know that the family members need you more. And all this curriculum, you just always have to have it at the back of your mind that, okay, anytime it can happen, you know.
Is that your KPI or is that the industry's KPI?
At least it's my KPI. I'm sure a lot of funeral directors also keep to that KPI. So we try to keep it, you know, the sooner we reach there, at least we provide a sense of support. Because at that point in time, I'm sure family members are always looking for support. So when you're there, you can guide them. They feel a sense of security knowing that, oh, someone is here to guide me. Over the phone, it might be very difficult because they could be grieving and they're not in the right state of mind to listen. So when you're there, they see you, they're able to walk you. You are able to walk them through the process. I think that's very, very helpful.
Now, what you're telling me is not something I'm aware of. To me, it's more of a response. Like, if today, that should anything happen to my parents, I wouldn't know how to react or who to call, right? But it sounds like the family that you have to rush down to already have met my questions. Is that something that you think people are aware of?
No. I mean, there are two types of clients now. In the past, you probably have more clients who only come to us when it's the time of need. So we categorize clients by at need and pre-need, right? So need just means the time of need. So for people who are clients of at need clients, meaning to say their loved one has passed away, so this is the time, of course, you want to reach there and be fast to respond. Now, we also have people who are pre-need. So, like, pre-need, yesterday I met a client. He wrote to us after, you know, the reason why he wanted to meet me was because he felt very uneasy lately. So he said he couldn't sleep. He kept thinking about his mortality. And he said he didn't know what happened and he just kept thinking about it. So he wanted to know exactly what he could do. And he's not like he's sick or he's currently, you know, bedridden, but he's very perfect. When I saw him, he's perfectly fine, healthy, retiree. So he told me that his concern was he doesn't want to be a burden for his family. because he only has one son. So he and his son just graduated from university. So he was so concerned about that. And so this is the kind where, you know, it's pre-need. So we make the arrangement on Tuesday and to make an appointment on Friday. So this is the time where, you know, you could plan ahead the timing. But there are clients who only call you when it's at need. And then this is the time where you need to really rush down and make sure everything is in proper arrangement. But I also get more calls nowadays where they already know mom or dad or their loved ones, their days are numbered. So they prefer to meet us beforehand, like what you have explained, beforehand so that they can actually plan out and make sure that they know what to plan for. And it could be a week, it could be months before their loved one passed away. But they want to have a sense of peace of mind so that when anything happened, they know that they have already discussed all the details with us. We just have executed accordingly. Yeah, so I do have this kind of category of clients now. So it doesn't mean, in the past, it was mostly just at-need clients. But now you see that it's quite widespread. There are people who are at-need clients, who are pre-planning for clients who really need this service anytime. And then we have people who are pre-need. They're probably not going to die for another decade or 2 decades or 3 decades. And then, but they want to have a sense of security as well. Then, of course, you have the people who are at need only at a point of time when their loved one passed away, then they will contact us. Yeah.
If you look at insurance, you have your life insurance, or your death and everything.
Yeah.
And that's actually to prepare for those moments to come.
Right, yeah.
But at least now you're telling me that there is an increase in
pre-planning.
Is this still something that is unheard of or still? Because I come from a place where I've not heard about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think now more and more people are getting, and of course, government is also concerned about, you know, aging population. We want more and more people are getting more responsible. I feel they are open to talk about this, and especially there's so many movement, the community, the palliative care group, a hospice. We are always talking about this death topic, right? Siwang, you know, and I think actually this is something that a lot of elderlies or even, you know, younger generation, they want to talk about it. This kind of information is so easily available on Facebook, on Google, you know, YouTube. There's always people sharing, you know, videos of the final moments of their loved ones. I recently saw one, a video that really touched my heart also. It was a girl who was dying and she was asking her father that will she go to heaven? And you saw how strong the father was explaining to her what heaven is and that she doesn't have to be afraid. Everybody's going to be there. You know, she was crying, but she was not scared. And she was struggling in between, you know, fear, the unknown, and also knowing that she will go to heaven is also bring her a lot of peace. So, I mean, you get exposed to all these videos almost, yeah, constantly every day. So this topic of funeral arrangement is not something that is taboo anymore. People want to talk about it. They start to realize that, yeah, at the end of the day, that is the final destination we will go. So you get to see more people, you know, they don't just talk about insurance plan. Now we talk about will writing. And when during my financial days, I remember where people were saying insurance 骗人的. But when they, because they peer around because they don't understand, right? So that's why now there's you have a group of people who are now more financially literate. They are more savvy. And then also in the past, people are fearful of writing a will because they said, hey, today I write my will, tomorrow I'll die. So when I first, you know, started will writing for clients, that you always hear this, like, oh, I don't want to write because it's taboo. But nowadays you have people who will call and say, yeah, I want to get everything prepared. So part and parcel of this is, of course, will writing and funeral. Because will is only part of it. When in Singapore context, a lot of people will not look for the will and then, you know, look at the will first when a person passes away. Our practice is always to conduct the funeral first, then we will search for the will. Now, if your funeral instruction is in the will, then that's where you kind of have a deadlock situation, which happened before. I had a client, you know, true story that I felt really, yeah, sort of remorseful that they have to go through this experience where mom has really indicated what she wanted, you know, in her will, but the children actually didn't look for the will first, right? They conducted the funeral, then later on they found a will and then they regretted what they did for mom. Now, I mean, that with funeral arrangement now, because people want to make sure that everything is, you know, in proper order. They know how much they're going to spend, and then do they need to buy another insurance to fund for it? So nowadays, you get to see more and more people really talk about it and more open-minded in this topic as well.
Since we're on the topic of preparing for funeral, yep. What are some of the things that I would need to know? Right, like I hear, I'm convinced now. Okay. So I watch this video.
Yeah.
Wow, sounds important, right? Where do I start? What do I need to do? What are some of the things that I must at least have
yeah, I think first is really to meet up with us so that we can actually guide you on the things that you need to think about, because every one of us are very different, right? So for instance, there could be someone who's a single, and a single person has said they don't want to be a burden to any of their aged parents or their siblings, or and they say that when things happen, because I'm not married, I want to make sure that everything is in order so that I don't stress my siblings and my parents. So then their consideration would be, of course, a little bit different. For people who have children, and then they have grandchildren as well, things that we commonly ask is how many days, a funeral, where do they want to wake, what kind of religion, do you want a religious funeral or a secular funeral? And then questions we will also continue to ask is, even the personal preference, the kind of food you want, what kind of setup do you want. So you have the younger generation, they are not so particular about, I just want to focus on the funeral. They actually share about what they would like, oh, can you play a video montage of me? I love lemon tart. Can you serve lemon tart? And then recently I have one young lady who said she wants to do pre-planning, and interestingly she tells me that, do you think you can provide Peranakan catering? I said, yes, we can. So, these are the things that we speak about. And when people come to us, similarly how I did in my financial days is really everyone comes with a blank piece of paper. Now, the whole point is your job is to tell me what you would like, and I will then piece it together. I'll curate it and make sure that this is according to what you want. So, of course, along the way, I have one client who said, oh, but I may be thinking about a 3 days wake, but what if, later on I want to change my mind? Yeah, definitely, because you can always continue to review. Similarly, for your insurance policy, you constantly review what your preference is. In order to put things in order, we also ask family members about the final outfit so that family members know what is your favorite final outfit. So we also keep that as a record, colors of flowers, what kind of color theme do you want. So we go into this little gritty details for clients so that we keep a record. And it really helps, I think, you to also have the conversation, because we want to challenge you to even go further, not just about preparing for the funeral, but is there things that you want to say to your parents? Is there things that you want to say to your family member? Your child who's young, you may want to consider like writing a message, leaving a video recording for him or her, or like hopefully one day we can do what Endgames is doing, the hologram, the testimonial, or like will. Yeah, so there's so many things, and constantly things are changing. In the past, we don't have the convenience of a handphone to do recording, but now we do have that. So with that, but don't keep it in your phone, because if you keep it in your phone, nobody's gonna see it. So usually we also ask the client to send it to us so that we have a copy, and then give us specifically which video is for who. So these are the services that we provide for our clients, so that at the end of the day, we are the one who will be executing for you to make sure that the right person get the message that you want to deliver. So, even there was a joke that someone cracked with me and said, even if you are lying 6 feet under, don't worry, you can remote control us to help you out, to make sure that the messages gets carried out, your letter of endearment get received by the right person. So these are the things that we want to continue for clients. Yeah,
I know there's only one way. Like in the wheel, when you watch Hollywood movies, who gets what?
How
do you split the property?
Exactly.
So that's the kind of wheel I know. But yeah, I understand from you that there are more than one.
Yeah. So in our company, because of my exposure in financial advisory, so we wanted to advocate, to let more people know about actually there are three wheels in our life. Now, there's living will, there's financial will, and then, of course, the last part, which is your emotional will. Now, your living will is what we, you know, we encompass with advanced care planning, advanced medical directive. We have your lasting power of attorney. So these are the execution of instructions when you're still living. And that's why it's called a living will. It's very extensive. There's a lot of categories. You know, it's not just one to cover everything. Like, some people ask me, oh, lasting power of attorney, is that the only living will I need? No, because lasting power of attorney will give you the instructions of who will be in charge and what kind of power are you giving to them. Now, but they won't know it until they know what is in your advanced care planning. So advanced care planning teaches your family member how you want to be cared for. So you see, everything is, you know, it has to be encompassing. So that's for your living will. Now, of course, financial will, we don't just talk about who gets what, but we also want to add in one part, which is your funeral planning. Because when will get executed only when, you know, someone passes away. But the most immediate thing that we always do first is funeral. And once funeral is done, then we talk about, you know, let's look at who get what and how it gets done. Not just that, financial will also includes trust, setting up a trust. So we do have clients who come to us and said, well, I want to give my son, you know, my assets, my inheritance, but you may not want him to inherit at the age of 21. So that's where you need the instrument of a trust to make sure that you can do some discretion on how they get the money. So that's for your financial will part. Then we have the emotional will. A very classic example recently, of course, is Endgames, you know, where, yeah, you'll be able to see that person and that person can interact with you. Of course, I'm a movie goer. I watch a lot of film. I get a lot of inspiration from there. Even Black Mirror, some of the episodes that I saw where there was one episode where she was able to create a clone of her husband, her late husband, and then how, you know, it helped her. Well, initially was to help her with grief. So after I watched the episode, I also asked myself, do I really want that, you know, a clone of your loved one? And then the company could actually install everything and so that he can behave as naturally and as mimic what your husband, you know, your late husband did. But later on, she found out that there's a lot of things that you can't replace, you know, in terms of intimacy, the connection. So that also make you think that would the future, you know, in our future, will I ever come to the point where I get to see something like this, like a clone where, you know, would that really help grieving process? So having said that, you know, this part about the end of life care is so many topics. There's so many areas to care for. So you can't just like prepare an insurance, prepare a will, and you think that's it. There's so many other things that our clients should be exposing themselves to and should really understand so that when you leave, you really leave with a complete peace of mind.
Will to me sounds like it's really a pricey thing. Anything involved in legal. Is that true?
I think the perception is, in the past, everybody thinks that, wow, will and trust is only for people who are rich. But it's not true, because nowadays, and also one of the most misconception is that it has to be written by a lawyer, right? But it's not true, because there's many legal company who, like, companies or wills and trusts where they focus. You don't need to be written by a lawyer, because, well, lawyer charged by hours, and that's not their main bulk of business. They do other services. So that's not true, and I'm sure nowadays the mindset is different, because in the past years, you watch too much TV, you know, that, yeah, only people with a lot of money, and then they have a lawyer, then, you know, when they pass away, the lawyer will come knocking on the door and say, well, it's time to read the will. And that's what you always see being portrayed in the TV, right? But no, it's not so glamorous, you know. Like, people like us, basically, we just know that we have the will in place. When things happen, our loved ones, our executor will be the one who will be executing the will to be applying for the grant of probate. So yeah, it doesn't take a lot of, it doesn't take thousands, it's a couple of hundreds and you can get your will done up. Yeah.
Well, one of the last questions I have for you is books and movies. Since you mentioned movies, your movie goer, you mentioned Departure in the last video.
I did, yes.
Wait, what are some of your
favorites
that you want to share?
Yeah, I have so many. Some of the ones that really impact me, there's a movie, A Bucket List by Jack Nicholson, I think, with
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. So So that particular movie also shows that how two person of like opposite character, opposite background, but they come together to fulfill bucket list together, right? And I think that's very fulfilling. Another one that also impacted me a lot is P.S. I Love You. P.S. I Love You is really about emotional will, where the husband was leaving a lot of messages for her so that she could move on with her life. So go watch that, you know, I think that's a beautiful movie. There's another one called Sister's Keeper by Cameron Diaz. And that one impacted me, well, as I'm speaking about it, impacted me a lot because, you know, you watch how the family dynamics change when one person gets sick in the family, and especially when it's a child. Now, all the attention goes to this child who's sick, and very often the other sister or the other siblings get neglected, and they feel that their needs are not being met, they're not being heard, you know, and you see the struggle as a parent and also as a sibling. So that movie is also very beautiful. So I always keep track of the movies that I watch that really impact me. Another one that's a Japanese film is called Ending Note, Death of a Salesman. Wow, just get ready, tissues, okay, tissues. Yeah, and that was another a very amazing movie by, it was done by a girl who was aspiring to be a producer, a director, and she actually filmed her own father towards the end of his days and how he was preparing for his funeral, for the columbarium, and then the relationship with the family members. So that particular movie also taught me a lot, you know, how he came to terms with his own mortality and how he actually arranges his own funeral, and even talking about her mom had to handle that. And even though they may not be good terms when they are together, but they make it work, you know. So all these movies always teach me something, and sometimes they also inspire me with some concept of what I can do for funerals here in Singapore as well.
Now, for a foreigner who comes to Singapore, now we're not talking about the family and death, we're talking about all the other side where we are now invited to come down for the funeral.
Okay.
What are some of the, I don't know, not just the culture that we should be sensitive to, like even maybe we did a Google search, right? The most number of searches, what flowers to bring. So from someone who's in the industry, could you give us some insight into what's culture like in Singapore on the funeral practices? Like, what to come down and how much to give that red necket,
oh,
the flowers.
I see, yeah.
So just
okay. Well, I mean, in my book, Dying to Meet You, I also share about, you know, some of the traditions. Very common, of course, please do not wear red. You know, never wear red to a funeral. It's quite disrespectful unless the family has indicated that they want to make it a joyous occasion to celebrate, you know, the graduation of this person, the life graduation of this person. But out of respect, you always want to make sure you wear something like khaki colors. For ladies, I always advise, please do not wear hot shorts, hot pants, you know, or skirt. Be very respectful, because you need to understand that the family members are grieving. So be conscious of the colors you wear, and of course the outfit that you're wearing. Yeah, not be flamboyant and be loud, you know. Don't wear like you're going to clubbing, of course. So naturally, when you come to a funeral, there's always a sort of a condolence table, right? First, I usually will ask the funeral guests to go pay respect first. So be it your religion, even if it's a religious funeral and you're not religious, you know, just a simple bow will make a difference. Then, of course, it's still up to your preference whether you would like to do a viewing of the departed in the casket. Some people are not comfortable, so by all means, what you are more comfortable with. You know, if you would like to view, go in, view, and then as you are exiting, there's always a condolence table where you can actually give your condolence money. Now, in terms of the figure, it really depends on the relationship you have. There's no market rate, like, you know, wedding where, like, oh, how much is this hotel cost, you know? So I think when it comes to, we call paiting, condolences money or donation, it's really about your relationship with that person, you know. Some people, a comfortable amount is 30, 50. If you feel that you are very close to this person and this person has impacted you, or, you know, you want to help this family, you can always go more, like a couple of hundreds too, or even thousands. So there's really no benchmark, you know, for you to the amount you give. So that's the paiting. But of course, please do not bring a red ang pao and put the money in there, okay? Because it's not like a wedding. So usually some people ask, what should they use? You can use envelope. You can write a message there and then you give it to the family members. That's also quite useful. Or you can buy a card and then write your condolences money, your message, and then put the money in there, give the card to the family member that you know. So generally, this is how it's done at the funeral. Now, sometimes when you see, some of the funeral, you do have photographs, you do have video montage being played there. I think it's very helpful for family members when you start to ask them questions like, oh, what was your dad like? What was your mom like? Try to refrain from the question. I know sometimes it's difficult, but try to refrain from the question like, oh, what happened to your father? What happened to your mother? Was she sick for very long? Because imagine, the family has to reply and have to explain this to so many funeral attendees. And it can be very, very traumatizing. I personally went through it. When my dad passed away, everyone who came to me, they have to ask the same question. In the past, we don't have video montage, we don't have like photographs being displayed. So every time when someone asked me the question, I have to go back to the moment when my dad passed away. And it was very, very difficult for me, but I still have to put out a strong front that, okay, I'm able to tell the story without breaking down, but the fact is I couldn't. And I just want to escape from people. But what I really appreciate was when my dad's friend came and she chatted with me and then told me about how my dad was. So these are things that is helpful. You can, if you don't know, because sometimes when we go to a funeral, it's not because you know the person who's lying in the coffin, but you know someone who's related to him or her. So the very common what I will ask is, oh, tell me more about your father. What was he like? I saw some photographs. And then you talk about it. It's like, wow, your dad quite high. Last time at the agogo, the hair is like all permed out, agogo pants. And let them talk freely, right? And you will start to see smiles. You start to see laughter, hear laughter. And that has so much meaning to it. And then I remember when I first started our memorial board, where we encourage family members to paste pictures, you start to hear and you start to see, someone who was crying and wailing the night before. And then as they start to receive a lot of funeral guests, the friends came, they talk about the photographs, and you start to see the spouse of the departed. And they share freely. They're like, oh yeah, this was our last photo. Yeah, we like to travel. This allow her to talk about all the happy moments that they have. And sometimes you even get friends who will say that, oh, I got to tell you a story about your husband. And you see that just that smile on their face makes so much difference. And I think that's really helpful. So try to refrain from asking what happened, how did he die? Instead ask something more interesting, like what do you enjoy doing with your dad? What is his hobby? So this allow them to open up to you and share more of the happy moments. Of course, there's always a taboo. This is also taught by my grandmother when I was young, and I always have this in mind. Do not say goodbye at a funeral. Don't say bye-bye, because some people may be pantang, and then they pantang are superstitious, right? And then they don't like the word bye-bye. So at the funeral, when you said you have to leave, that's generally every funeral, there's always the red string on the table. So it's good to take one if you are, more pantang and superstitious, or you just want to be more careful in the practice. So usually they will take one off, and then they will coil it around your finger, and then when you are, as you leave the funeral wake, don't say bye, just say take care. Yeah, if there's anything, just words of comfort, right? That will help them a lot. And then you just take your leave, and then as you're leaving, you just toss the red string, and then just don't look back. Yeah, so generally, this is what is being taught to me by the elderlies. Yeah. So on the funeral day, usually the family members will prepare. If you are attending the funeral, usually the family members or the funeral directors will prepare something with something red, right? So it's for Heng Heng. So just make sure you take one. And then if you're driving, please take the two oranges. Yeah. So typically the funeral directors will be, there's always people asking like, are you driving? Please take the two oranges. And then if you're not driving, they will also give you a good luck pack, So yeah, just make sure you take that. And generally at the end of the funeral service, there's always the flower bath. The flower bath is again a Chinese tradition where we want to cleanse ourselves, So yeah, if you would like to, just go get yourself cleansed. Some people even tell me that they may go home and then they will take a flower bath lah. So buy some cui hua, you know, loose flower from the market, and then you just shower with it. Yeah. So that's some tips for you when you're attending a funeral.
Do you take flower baths every day?
No, I mean, then I have to buy a lot and stock up. No, I mean, even in my industry, I very common people ask me like, oh, what are the things? I always feel that if you do good for the departed, you know, they don't harm you. And you have to bear that in mind that they are all your people that you care for, people that you love. So treat them with respect, you know, whenever you are moving them, let them know that you're moving them. If you accidentally hurt them, you know, by accident, just tell them sorry, you know, don't treat them. Yeah, treat them as they are alive. I think what we are doing is a good thing. And so I'm not like pantang while every day shower. Can you imagine how much loose flower I have to stock up?